This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
4:05 first pitch on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app. And the first front office report of this season is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And it is the president of the Boston Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, who joins us this morning. Hey, Sam.
Good morning, guys. Greetings from Dallas. How are you?
We're doing great, and you'll probably say every season, but when it comes to anticipation and expectation with what happened in the off season, where do you rank heading into today during the time you've been here?
Well, there's probably recency bias, but I don't remember as much anticipation and excitement for a while. It's been a really, really long off season, very productive one. We had a team event last night. We were just talking about how ready everyone is to go and can't wait to get to the ballpark today.
Sam, obviously everybody very excited about Garrett Crochet, and I know you've said to other media outlets that you're not going to talk about negotiations for extensions leading into the season, but when you look at your pitching rotation, and you've got him, obviously, but then you've got Buehler, who has his first year back from a second Tommy John, and then you have three starters that are starting on IR. You guys have dealt with bad injuries the last two seasons, and that's kind of been the fall off for you. Is there an emphasis going into this season to make sure that history isn't repeating itself, that you guys have people healthy, and what are some of the things that you are making sure that your players are doing to keep everyone healthy?
Yeah, it's the most important part of the game is health and availability, and everybody deals with injuries, so we can't use that as an excuse. It has plagued us over the last couple of years. We're really glad Garrett's ready to take the ball today, and he's going to anchor, a rotation that is built to last throughout the course of the year. But we did make a lot of moves in this offseason in terms internal and external. So we hope that we have more depth, both in the starting pitching rotation, but also in the bullpen. It is a challenge that our medical and training staff work on tirelessly to make sure everybody can go out and take the ball when we need them.
I wasn't clear from his statement. Did he specifically say, hey, once opening day gets here, don't want to talk about a new deal? Or is it something that you guys can have an ongoing discussion about?
You know, there's not going to discuss any negotiations that are happening in private or discussions. There's no baseball MLB rule or deadline, but we will follow Garrett's lead in terms of the desire to have conversations, given the nature where he's here. He's like I said, anchoring our rotation, and any discussions about what happens 2-3 years from now, we'll keep private.
Alex Cora on this radio station yesterday afternoon talked about Rafael Devers and accepting that he's going to DH for this team. We all got to hear his passion about playing third base. How involved and even difficult was it to get him to kind of come to terms with what Alex Cora thought should be his role?
You know, he's doing exactly what you would want him to do, which is doing what's best for the team. And he's, as I've said a few times, he's the only guy in that clubhouse wearing a uniform as a player that's got that World Series ring on his shelf. So he's a championship caliber player. He's the cornerstone of our franchise. He's invested in winning as much as anybody else, and he's going to contribute however he can to our plans. You definitely want players that want to be where they want to be on the field. But in the end, Rafi understands the conversations that he's had with Alex. We've left it to those two guys. That's the right level to have those conversations. And he's ready to go and excited for opening day, just like the rest of us.
Sam, I know you don't get into specific with players in their contract, but what's it like to balance knowing that, you know, just any player, but knowing that you have somebody who could be really, really good in the future that you might be trying to figure out what their deal is going to be worth then and trying to get something done now because maybe the money's going to be a little bit different? Like, what's that like from the front office perspective to know that we're trying to get something done now with a specific player, but that price tag might go up? Even though it's a good thing, it might go up a lot more than we expect.
Yeah, it's a great question, Wiggy, because the hardest thing in professional sports is to balance those two sort of misaligned things, which are near term and long term. And our responsibility in the ownership group and in the front office is to be doing everything we can to win now, win today's game, you know, here this afternoon in Dallas, and also win in 2030, 2032 and beyond. So you're always trying to balance the near term with the long term. And it's really, really difficult and challenging. If you look back over, this will be my 24th opening day with the Red Sox. We've had lots of ups and downs, and I think that's representative of where you've had some great near-term success and then near-term failures. It goes with the territory. But what we try to do is balance both each and every day as we're addressing our roster to make sure we've got the perfect balance. As Red Sox fans know, our young homegrown players that come up through the organization and can ultimately contribute at the big league level, international signings. We've had a lot of success in that area. And then big free agent signings. And so that combination is really the ingredients that you want for championship baseball. And hopefully we'll get there this year and in 2025, but also beyond.
Sam, I'm not sure. You said you're in Texas, so unlikely you were listening before you came on, but we were all accused of being Red Sox honks and apologists. So I just hope if you missed it,
hold on. Hold on. The world is turning on in a different direction on its axis. Red Sox apologists on WEEI. You got to be kidding me. Yeah. Who said that?
It's a wild world.
No, guys read too much social media. You read too much social media. I'd advise you guys to get off social media.
It would be great for all of our health.
Chad felt like I was not hard enough on Will Middlebrooks,
right,
for the construction of this team over the last 4 years.
It was all his fault. Sam, we spoke all last year, and prior to last year we discussed, you know, the roster construction and everything, and you had mentioned that it's a break-even business, the baseball component of it. And Forbes has a list that came out, I think, yesterday, with the valuations of the franchises, the Red Sox just under $5 billion as the third most valuable franchise in Major League Baseball. And they note that the operating income of the Boston Red Sox was $120 million last year, which put the Red Sox as the best, most profitable in Major League Baseball. Is that number accurate? And what does that signify to you?
I can assure you that number is inaccurate, number one. Number two, I can assure you of that. But it wouldn't serve the Boston Red Sox or me well to get into a debate or a discussion publicly about our finances. Here's what I'll tell you. This ownership group has consistently demonstrated a willingness to invest in all areas of the franchise, from preserving and protecting Fenway Park to investing in player payroll, to investing in minor league, our minor league affiliates, our spring training affiliates. The resources have not been a problem. Have we made mistakes in terms of where we've invested in the past? Yeah, of course we have. But really excited about where we are for 2025. And I think our fans care about who's putting on the uniforms today and going out there versus the business side of the game. So I'll leave it at that.
First season in a long time that there will be baseball on the radio and on the Odyssey app without Joe Castiglione. But we just had Will Middlebrooks on, and so it's going to be Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks, and I think we can share Lou Merlone doing some games and Sean McDonough, right, Sam?
Yeah, that's right. I think we'll probably have the only name that was left out. I think we'll probably have Mike Monaco doing some games as well. 162 is a grind, and there's only one Joe Castiglione, so it takes six or seven guys to fill his shoes. We all know that.
Let me bat clean up, if I could, Curtis, to use an apropos analogy on a couple things from last year. Still no spicy mustard, and I don't know. I don't know what's the deal on that.
We got to get Greg. Let's call Troop together after this call. We'll get on that.
Okay. All right. What about the Curtis first pitch?
Oh,
are we shut out on that? Or can we try to make that happen this season?
Definitely shut out on that. Definitely shut out on that.
Unbelievable.
People tell me I have to be better at saying no. So the answer is that's a hard no.
And just to clear up the cocoa bomb. Was there any interest at any time from you, Sam Kennedy, in buying the Boston Celtics? That was a cocoa bomb at one point.
We are focused on the Boston Red Sox.
It's not
excited
a no.
About excited about Bill Chisholm. I'll just say it's a small world. There's a lot of connections to Bill. I think Celtics fans are going to love this guy. It's exciting. Think about a homegrown kid who grew up here loving the Celtics, and now he's going to eventually be the owner of the team. I actually spoke to Wick the other day. He gave me a little bit more background on him. It's really exciting and fantastic. What a great job Wick has done in terms of the championships. And
yeah,
we've been involved with the Red Sox as long as Wick has been involved with the Celtics. And Wick's been such a great part of this era in Boston sports, and he was really focused on getting it in the right hands, and it sounds like he has. So that's really exciting for Celtics fans.
Sam, not numbers wise in terms of profit or loss, but it has felt for us since being down in Fort Myers that there has been a renewed interest in the team after the offseason. Have you noticed that in ticket sales as a general rule?
Yeah, there's been a hugely positive reaction. I think anytime you add two top of the rotation starters and a Gold Glove caliber player in Alex Bregman, a lot of interest and excitement. But you know, Chris, on a serious note, you know as much about the Red Sox as anybody. I do think there's also a reaction to this young core group of guys who, you know, Christian's going to be in the lineup today, which is amazing just to think about that. You know, last year was his first camp. And, you know, before that he was at Georgia Tech, and I think he played at Georgia Tech for exactly 1 year. It's pretty extraordinary. And
yeah,
there's nothing like young homegrown players to get our fans excited. So there's a lot of excitement around the short-term prospects for the Sox, which is just great.
Sam, when you look at this team, I think over the past couple of years, you guys seem like you're always top 10, top 5 in most major hitting categories. It's been the rotation. You talked about adding some of these pieces. How involved has Craig Breslow been and just the coaching staff when it comes to pitching and the excitement around the pieces that you added and what this rotation could potentially do this year, especially when you get some key guys back from injuries?
Yeah, look, I mean, huge credit to Brez, who one of the first things he did is went out and convinced Andrew Bailey to stay away from the New York Yankees and get him to the Red Sox. You know, Andrew's a New Yorker, and that's his hometown team, and getting him here was a huge thing for us. He's done a great job revamping our entire pitching program from all the way down in rookie ball up through the big leagues, taking a player development focus that doesn't stop when guys get to Fenway Park and continuing that growth and development. Andrew has led that effort. He's done a great job. And Brez, if there's anything this guy knows, it's pitching. Literally willed himself to become a major league pitcher. When you look at Brez, he doesn't exactly look like a big leaguer. And this guy made himself a quality major league reliever, played for 13 years. That was something we, frankly, for forever in our time in Boston, we've not had a great track record of drafting, developing, pitching, and that's something that we're working really hard on. And we have a long way to go, but there's a lot of good signs in camp and throughout the minor leagues on that front. So excited to see what comes through the farm.
Well, it is exciting, Sam. Thanks for taking the time on opening day, and we will talk to you again throughout the season, but go get them.
Look forward to it, guys. Thanks so much. Enjoy today.
All right, that is Sam Kennedy, and first pitch 4:05 today here on the Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network.
Wasn't a no.
Hey, you're right about that. Wasn't it? There you go.
It was. We're focused on the Red Sox.
It was a deflection. Courtney's right.
It was a deflection.
Yeah.
That was not a no.
Right. A hard no on the first pitch. My God.
I know. That was a no.
That is disappointing, Curtis.
Yeah,
right.
That's a Linda call. That's not. That's over.
I would really love to see. I hope I live to see you throw the first pitch at Fenway Park.
Can you imagine how nervous you would be?
Yeah. What, Curtis?
Like the foot tapping would be.
Oh, through the roof.
The man, he's a ball player through and through.
I agree.
Everybody on this show has doubted my athletic ability and then been forced to say that they were wrong.
Right.
I'm not doubting your athletic ability. I've seen you
from
when
pickleball
you're
pickleball to golf.
Yeah,
you named the white guy sport I taught him.
Well, you were good in pickleball. He was dominant.
Yeah, he was great in golf.
Yeah. Really good in golf.
Last year's Numbnuts Invitational.
Yeah. And bowling.
Bowling. I mean, you talk about an irrelevant sport that you get nothing for being good at.
Yeah,
but
his foot went up ick style at the end of bowling.
No comment.
At least I didn't. Jeez, the amount of personal attacks. At least I didn't hold my nose while bowling.
Have we set a date yet? Because we're talking about golf for the match. Because there's been a lot of interest on the match.
In the match?
Yeah, and whether or not there's going to be fans allowed there, because everybody wants to see you and Chime. Go ahead, Ted.
I spoke to the incredible people at Granite Links, and they will allow spectators.
Mm.
Chime and I, 9-hole match. I think we talked the other day about end of April, Chime. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So,
because you were worried about it being a little chilly.
I had
Chime,
the T-shirt.
I was not
made.
Worried about any. Chime.
I mean, you said it on these airwaves, Greg. Well, I don't know what you offer me.
I asked you. I want you to be able to perform at your best.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, for you in the 95 to 100 range.
Okay.
So, I don't want, but we can go. I'll go next week. Club opens up, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday. We can go next week.
Like I said, Greg, you name the date and the time, and I will be there.
The pre-diabetic open will either Shime or Greg shoot under their BMI.
So the end of April
the pre-diabetic open, weather permitting.
Right.
Has to be 75 degrees and beautiful.
The pre-diabetic open, what's higher, the score or their sugar levels?
Like the hardos who drive down to the Cape, you know, in early December in their rain gear. No, thank you. It's got to be 60. And,
so then you probably
at least and dry.
Go yeah. there in the April then. Gives you some time for the weather to get nice. And yeah. it gives, you know, Shimmy yourself some time to maybe hit the links a little bit, get yeah. some practice.
Good opportunity for somebody to dress Greg and Shime and maybe make a little donation. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I do have a dress Greg to mention today. I'll mention that coming up. And we're going to play your Hill Notes as well in just a little bit.
And we should invite Sam Kennedy to hit the first tee shot as a means to maybe grease the skids for next year's first pitch for us.
Well, this is disrespectful from my unappreciative son.
Mm.
I love when Breeze chimes in.
You know you can't give yourself six-footers when you play against Shime, right?
Wow.
Wow, shots fired.
What does that mean?
A putt.
There's
I
no
gimme. Myself six.
He
footers.
Says, like, oh, this is good, right?
Oh.
He just picks it up and doesn't have actually to finish the putt.
Wow.
What is embarrassing is right. that kid played, you know, football at Bentley,
right.
finger quotes,
right.
and I destroy him day after day, week after week on the golf course.
Well, that wow. makes sense. Bad athletes are good at golf.
I'm shocked. I expected it to be a shot at me. This time it was a shot at you.
Yeah.
So no gimmies, right. huh? Wow.
Greg John Oon out there on the course.
Here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Celtics win easy against the Suns, 132-102. The final in Arizona. No Jason Tatum. Kristaps Porzingis led the way with 30 points. Not the same energy for your Bruins. They dropped their seventh straight, this time to the Ducks. Final score 6-2. It is opening day. The Red Sox are in Texas to take on the Rangers. It's the former Sox ace versus the new, as Garrett Crochet will take the mound for the Sox, while Nathan Eovaldi will take it for the Rangers. First pitch at 4:05. You can listen to the game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Perfecting the Art of Fresh. Will and Will are on the call, and it kicks off with Christian Arcan on the MassMutual pregame show at 3:05. March Madness resumes today. BYU is taking on Alabama to kick things off at 7:09. Then Florida faces off with Maryland. Duke has Arizona, and Texas Tech has Arkansas. And the NCAA hockey tournament kicks off today. Half of the 16 teams in it are from New England. 2 p.m. we'll see BU and Ohio State. 5 p.m. Western Michigan and Minnesota State face off. Michigan State and Cornell take the ice at 5:30. And Minnesota and UMass end the day at 8:30. With so much to love, you don't want to miss the Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Greg, in all sincerity, I'm going to ask you to get this done. April 25th, 2016, will be 10 years, God willing, sober. That day, I will throw out the first pitch at Fenway Park.
Okay.
So, a year from now, God willing, if I don't get drunk today.
Okay.
April 25th, 2016, Sam. Let's get it done. 38 degrees and sunny afternoon, high of 48.
2026, you mean?
What did I say?
2016.
I don't want to go back to 2016. That okay. sucks.
Yes. All right.
Thank you.
We are going to play your Hill Notes back next.